is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am very happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. It is the day the Lord has made, and what do? We rejoice and be glad in it. Our Lord is a Lord who is always about His people. He is always with us. He is always in the midst of His people, and He's right here, right now, with you in this very moment. Yes, He is, and He has a mission in mind for us. He has blessings for us to receive. He has an abundant life He wants us to know and to live. And we talk about all of that right here on Women of Grace Live, and we enjoy when you call in and share your testimonies with us. So today is Testimony Tuesday. Yes, it is. It's Testimony Tuesday. Don't you like that? I just love alliteration. Testimony Tuesday. So we're inviting you to call in and share with us about how God has shown up in your life and the various individuals that you have met through the various perhaps apostolates that you've interacted with or who have made a difference in your life. Perhaps you want to share about how it is that your pastor or a deacon from your church, a religious sister, impacted your life so greatly. When we begin to praise the Lord for all of the blessings that He has bestowed upon us through others, we realize that this God of ours loves secondary mediators. He loves instruments of His divine love. That's why He incorporates you and me into the reality of His works, into the realities of all that He wants to do in the life of men. And we can go back to the beginning of the church and see that through every era, through every moment, through every decade and century and through every millennia, God has used His people to be His mediators of His love. I've probably shared this with you before, but many years ago, I had one of those little prayer moments where you see something in the spirit, and I saw a tsunami. Now, you know that a tsunami is a very dangerous, right, a cataclysmic reality of nature, and a tsunami has the capacity to wipe out villages and cities and towns. A tsunami has the capacity to wipe out coastlines, to take away islands, to change the landscape of a nation or a continent. So they can be very destructive, and they are by their very nature destructive. But what I was seeing, in this little, interior moment, I was seeing the love of God, like this great tsunami. And I said to Him, Lord, this tsunami of love that is yours, it could be crushing. And He said, yes, this is why I look for conduits. I look for individuals who will open their hearts to me that I might be able to use them as channels of this love so as not to crush my people with it, but to rather lift my people up as a result of it. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And I don't know if you can picture that in your mind. I mean, use the gift of your imagination and just picture this tsunami and picture it. You've seen it. You've seen a tsunami, I know, in pictures on, social media. You've seen tsunamis in, on newsreels. You've seen them in, reports on the news. You've seen them online. Just picture that and the fury of it. But picture that as love, the action of love. Right? And picture that as coming to this world of man, right? This is the sea of God's love coming to the world of man. But this God, because He does not want to crush us with the intensity of His love for us, the dynamic of His love for us, chooses individuals through whom He can channel that love so that it gently and beautifully flows into the world of man. And begins to nourish it, begins to soften it. It begins to fortify it and strengthen it and to lift it up into the reality of that love. Isn't that beautiful? And that's who God wants you to be. He wants you to be one of these instruments, one of these participators. One of these mediators of the divine life, right? That's who He wants you to be. And when we give testimony to the marvelous works of God, to his marvelous deeds, as sacred scripture says, when we do that, we are being these instruments, these channels of grace, these channels of God's love that invites his people into participation with him through it. And in the midst of that, transformation happens. In the midst of that, healing comes. In the midst of that, hope comes. In the midst of that, this reformation happens. A true reformation. We are being formed anew into the very image of the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. And all begins to enter into a new reality, a new dynamic of God with us, of Emmanuel. I just love it. I just absolutely love it. So I love opening up these phone lines to you. Your questions always welcome. Just because it's Testimony Tuesday doesn't mean you can't call in with a question, but I want you to be thinking, about who is it who have been these instruments in your life? How have you been substantiated, if you can use that word in that way, substantiated in the life of Christ to a fuller extent? How have you been a secondary mediator in someone's life? How have you done that for someone? How has an apostolate changed you? How has a pastor, a religious sister, a parent, a relative, how has a grandparent, oh my goodness, praise God for grandparents, a grandparent done this for you? How has a particular doctor, or an attorney, these people, God uses every profession and all of those with willing hearts in those professions to be the secondary mediators. So give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is our toll-free number for you here in North America. I invite you to use it today and frequently. I love hearing from you right here on Women of Grace Live. So do give us a call, 833-288-3986. Also want to encourage you to leave a message for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Just go out there to that channel and put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in the chat feature. We're going to get it retrieved for you. Yes, we are. And we're going to get it up on the board, and I am going to be able to address whatever is on your mind for you. So we are very, very excited about that. We are very, very thrilled that we have the opportunity to interact with you here. We love the fact that we can hear your voice. Sometimes just even your voice brings hope and healing to someone. So do let us hear from you. Those are two ways that you can reach us. You can also text your question or comment to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. EWTN to 58177. We'll get that retrieved as well, put up on the board. Yay! We're looking forward to seeing what it is that you have to say to us today. We're coming right back right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. Always reminding you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. We've got some great things coming up. I'm going to tell you about some of those on the other side of the break. But most importantly, you know what's most important to me? Hearing from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Oh yeah, it's Testimony Tuesday here on Women of Grace Live. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you on this Tuesday in the Lord. It is Testimony Tuesday. Delighted to receive from you your testimony right here by way of these beautiful, beautiful opportunities made available to you through EWTN Radio and all of your great affiliates. Do give us a call. Here's the toll-free toll-free number for you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Available for you, too, at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and you know it's going to happen. We're going to get it retrieved and up on the board for you. You can text your message to us. Text EWTN to 58177. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Put in your name, where you're calling from, how you're with us today, and in addition to all of that, I do want you to know that message and data rates may apply. Always happy to hear from you on every day of the week with any question that you might have, but you know, we like to have a theme, you know, on certain days of the week, and this is Testimony Tuesday today, so give us your testimony. We'll answer any other question that you might have or any other comment that you might like to make. Get on out there and join us live here today. You know, I want to celebrate a great day today. Today is the feast day of St. John Paul II. I want to give testimony on how it is that St. John Paul II impacted my life. I cannot begin to tell you the many, many ways in which this great, great man of God, saint of God, Holy Father, inspiration, example, impacted my life. It was really as a result of John Paul II, I would say, that I began to understand what the church really teaches about woman, and I began to understand who woman truly is. And that all happened for me with the very first document of his that I read. And you might think, well, that was probably Mulieris Dignitatem, you know, or his letter, to women, or maybe it was, one of the other great writings of the church that he participated in, such as the letter that the closing message from the Second Vatican Council that Paul VI gave us, you know, that John Paul II was a player there at that Second Vatican Council. But it was actually his encyclical letter, Redemptoris Mater. And that beautiful, beautiful letter is all on Mother of the Redeemer. That's what that means, Mother of the Redeemer. It was all on Our Blessed Lady. And as I began to read through that encyclical, I began to realize what God's call was for woman. I began to realize and understand that we were all called to be molded, if you will, into this Marian form. And so it was quite a delight when I began then to move into other writings and to have that filled out, if you will, by the great writings of John Paul II, who I like to call John Paul the Great, right? And also to see it, how that theme has really been with us from the very beginning. You know, it's been with us from the moment the angel heralded Our Lady in Sacred Scripture and follows all the way through. St. Louis de Montfort, and you probably know that I have a deep affection for St. Louis. He's one of the, you know, saints I truly want to meet as soon as I get to heaven, like after I just have, I don't know, we don't have minutes and hours in eternity, you know. It's all the present moment, so I don't quite know how to speak of it. I certainly want to know him. I have a short list. Well, actually, it's a rather long list now that I think of it, of people that I, you know, really want to thank, you know, personally thank for what they did for me in my life. And in his beautiful work, True Devotion to Mary, his treatise on true devotion, he talks about Mary being a mold. And he talks about the fact that, you know, there's all kinds of different ways in which we can begin to acquire this deep union with our Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, if we are poured into the mold of Mary, we will discover that we make great progress. And so Mary, in and of herself, her maternal beatitude, her maternal love, entering deeply into this relationship with Our Lady, I like to say, by way of her Immaculate Heart. In a certain sense, she is a mold for us. We're molded and shaped, you know, according to the will of the Father, so that we might contain within ourselves an ever-deepening reality of God who is with us. May I even say God who is in us, because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Today I want to thank and give testimony for the great work of St. John Paul II, the impact that he had in my personal life, the impact that he continues to have in my life, and continues to have an impact in the work of Women of Grace. You know, his paternal voice resonates through Women of Grace. You know, this great, great help that he is to us through the gift of his paternity, but through the gift of his intellectual, acumen, through his deep spiritual life. So thank you, St. John Paul II, and happy feast day to you, St. John Paul II. And may we never forget, you know, that this God of ours sends us who it is that we need at every given point in time. Sometimes we scratch our heads, but we have to know that there is no coincidence in God. And that's a quote, you know, that John Paul II, or a fact, I should say, not really a quote. It's a fact that he reminds us of time and time again, that God does not make mistakes. And through God's permissive will, he works all things to the good, even when they're very difficult things. And you know that to be the case, right? I know that you know that to be the case. You've seen it time and again in your own life, how God has taken the very difficult moments and he's worked them unto good. And I'll tell you, I've seen it time and time and time again, over and over and over again. Our God cannot be outdone in generosity. I never want you to think that he can be, because he cannot be. I don't want you ever to put a limitation on what God can do. And if God is always acting in your life, and even if it seems as though he's not there, even if it seems as though there's no change in your circumstance or situation, even though the tragedy may still be in the process, even though the grief is longstanding, even though the reversal is severe, the fact of the matter is God will work it to the good. And our job, what is our job? Our job is to be looking for that good. And then to be that instrument of God, to be that secondary mediator, right? Not the mediator, that's Jesus Christ, but to work in his mediation for his people by being a proclaimer of his marvelous deeds, and to share how it was that God showed up at a particular moment in our lives. So today, Testimony Tuesday, who do you want to give testimony to? I want to know. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Want to remind you to get out to our website. I was telling you about that a little bit before the break. We've got a great online event coming up this Friday night, and that's not too far away now, right? This Friday night, and it is for young women of grace. It certainly is. But you know what? We're all kind of young in the Lord, right? So that qualifies us. So I'm inviting you to join us for this online event. It's a free event. It is really going to be geared toward teen girls. But, you know, the information that is going to be given certainly does not belong only to teen girls, because this is information that is valuable for each one of us in our lives. And here is the title. Here is the theme: Get Spirit Savvy on All Hallows Eve. What's up with witches, ghosts, and other spooky stuff? Wow. Sounds really great. You know, last evening, Jack and I were out and about, and I saw a license plate, and I didn't even want to call attention to it. And it was just one of those, one of those things that I said, well, this is not happenstance. This is one of those license plates where somebody deliberately asks for it to be made. And the first word was spell, S-P-E-L-L. And it was T, it was a two, number two, and then a U. I believe that's the way it was. Spell to you. And wow. You know, I just, in my spirit, took authority over that instantly. You know, so when we say that this culture is steeped in the misery of the occult, and not just, you know, in the misery of it, the fact that it exists, but in the fact that it's active and it's being engaged by others, that should make us sit up very tall in our seat. That should make us be very, very aware of the fact that we are up against powers and principalities in great ways. And I'll tell you, as is the case with any regime, the goal is to get the heart of the young. Because if you get the heart of the young, it's very possible that you're going to have that young throughout the course of their lives, and they will do your bidding for you. This is why Hitler went after the youth, right? Now, of course, we want to get after the youth too, for positive ends. Yeah, we want to get after the youth for positive ends, to raise them up in the Lord. The evil one wants to raise them up in his army of demonic activity. In his, what do I want to say? Military his militia of demonic spirits. That is what he wants to do. And so it is that we need to inform our youth about these realities. And it's to this end that we're going to have this event. And it's a free event because we don't want money to stand in the way of somebody being able to participate. So it's Get Spirit Savvy on All Hallows Eve, What's Up with Witches, Ghosts, and Other Spooky Stuff, Friday, October 25th, from 7:30 p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So adjust it for your time zone. That's 7:30 to 9 Eastern Time, Friday evening. Just go out to our website, womenofgrace.com, click on it, and then register. You have to register. Why do you have to register? Because we need to be able to send you the link so that you can join us. It's going to be wonderful. Sue Brinkman is going to be presenting it, and you know Sue because you hear her every week on Wacky Wednesday. She's going to be there. We're inviting the moms, to listen in too. And I'm inviting all of you to listen in. I just want you to come. The girls are going to meet St. Christina the Astonishing, Saint of the Church. I'm excited to hear about her. They're going to learn a word to know. We're going to learn what the Catechism has to say about all of these things, and we're going to pray a decade of the Rosary together. It's going to be a nice hour and a half. If you have a teen daughter, if you are a teacher and somehow you're listening and you're not in the classroom right now, I want to invite you to invite your students to come and to join us for this event. I certainly want for you to, talk with, your youth group person and see if you can get an email out about this event. We want for you to use all the means that you can to get young women to come and join. Why? Why do we want that? Because we do not want them to be corrupted by the diabolical realities that are alive in our culture today. So all of that is there for you right there at Women of Grace. And oh, so very many other things are there for you as well. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone. Give us a call. All of the lines are open right now. I'm not sure if you can hear that noise, but we've got lawn people here. And isn't it funny that they came just as I was talking about the demonic? I mean, you can't make this stuff up, can you? You cannot, absolutely cannot make this stuff up. We always are aware of the fact that, I'm not saying that that's not, I'm not necessarily relegating that to the demonic. I'm just saying I find it very interesting. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. And right on cue, as we finish up that particular area of our conversation, we see that they have now put the lawn stuff away, although they're getting a blower out, so more to come. More to come on the bit of noise that's happening right here. 833-288-EWTN. It's an interesting thing to me, this whole concept of secondary instruments or secondary mediators. I was sharing with you not long ago from a beautiful book written by a Father Sebastian Walsh on St. Joseph, on the life of St. Joseph. And he tells us about, the mediation, how it works, that God chooses these secondary mediators and how scriptural this is. And you can go all the way back to the Old Testament and find that this is God's chosen means of action. And I like that. I liked what he said there. Because he says, this is the way that God prefers to operate. I love to think of God with preferences, right? And he says, of course, God can intervene directly. And we know that God does intervene directly. We've heard about the great miracles that have taken place throughout time. We know that there are miracles right happening in our day and time. Many of you may have experienced a miracle, a time of intervention. Give testimony to God about that today. We want to hear about that. But it's God's preferred means. The way in which he chooses to operate most typically is by way of secondary mediators, because he loves incorporating his people into his work. He loves incorporating his people into his work. And of course, we see that in the Old Testament. We see it with Abraham interceding for his people. For Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? We see it with Moses intervening, right? We see that in the Old Testament. We see it again when we look at the fact that we have Esther who intervenes for her people, right? We see that in the book of Judith. We see Judith intervening for her people. And we see this carried out, in the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? The one mediator the one for whom all of the prior mediators that we see in the second or in the Old Testament simply are prefigurements of, the one mediator, Jesus Christ. But then we see that Jesus Christ does not leave his work to himself alone, right? What does he do? He shares it with his apostles. The things that you have seen me do, you will do even more greatly. You will do greater things, he says. Isn't that an amazing thing? So right away we see, you know, through this if I can use this word, yeah, we see through the typology of sacred scripture this desire of God to use secondary means, to use individuals, to incorporate his people into his great work of salvation. And that continues down through the annals of the New Testament. We're living in New Testament times, right? And so we look at the saints. And don't we see that the saints, you know, from the apostles onward, the saints have done great things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see miracles wrought by the saints, right? We see great apostolic works raised up by the saints. We see the witness of the saints leading people to conversion of heart. And so we have to look at that and evaluate ourselves in light of it. We have to look at that and say, well, now, who am I? Who am I in the midst of it? I am called to that too. And to look at ourselves in any other way is really, I think, offensive to God. You know, it could even be a sin, you know, because it would be saying that our God has a limitation. You know, our God could use the saints of old. He could use the secondary mediators in the Old Testament. He could use, the mediators of the New Testament, the apostles. He could use the great saints. But in this our day and time, even though we have many saints that have been raised up in this our day and time that are canonized now, like John Paul, whose feast we celebrate today, he could never use me. That's putting a limitation on God. That's kind of a sin. God wants to use you today. Let's hear your testimony. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, friends. We're so happy that you are with us today right here on Women of Grace Live. I want to give you the number to use to call us. It's Testimony Tuesday. We've got four people here. We have two lines left available for you. So let's make use of those two lines. Let's get you on the air today so that you can give glory to God by way of your testimony. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today via telephone. We've got Matthew Gubensky out there call screening today. We have Michael McCall in social media land. You can get out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, leave your question or comment for us, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to get it retrieved and up on the board because I like it. You can also text your question or comment to us. Just text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. And be sure to tell us who you are, what your question or comment is, where and how you're listening to us. And do know that message and data rates may apply. Oh, goody gumdrops. We just have one line left. Oh, why don't you go ahead, take the plunge and give us a call. Let's fill that line up too. We're going to get to Denise. Denise is a first-time caller. I am ringing my bell. She is in Boca Raton, Florida. Hello, Denise.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Well, share with us, Denise, what do you want to tell us about today?
I'd like to give a testimony just about how God has really worked in my life. So about 2 years ago, we moved from California to Florida, which was a real big change. And I was really feeling isolated and lost without having any women's group, because I have been part of a group for about 10 years or more. So then last year, I found Women of Grace, and I got involved in the foundational study, and I love the depth of what it did for my faith, But the other part that I thought was really great is that it was a sisterhood of women, which was so wonderful for me. So at the end of the program, I prayed to Jesus, show me what you are calling me to do. And shortly after that, I was asked to become a facilitator for the foundational study. And I loved it because it's easy to be a participant. That I could just kind of go along and do my homework, but it challenged me to do more. And so it helped me to really build up my compassion when I was sharing stories with our fellow sisters in the group. And also, all of a sudden, I had this sensation that I should be praying more. And for the first time, I really dug into praying the rosary. Mm. So with that, I suddenly felt called to do the consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I'm on day four goodness. Right now. So
Denise,
with all of that, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead, honey.
With all of that, I just decided that I was going to commit my day in the morning to his word first. So I've actually given up looking at my cell phone, checking my text messages, looking at my emails, or seeing what the weather is, but to put God first. And that has been phenomenal because I've had a change in my thoughts. My day starts differently, and I'm just growing so much as a leader and a facilitator. So I've taken on the challenge. I'm doing my walk, and something happened. I went to confession a little bit more than I had in the past, and something lay on my heart. So for the first time in my life, I went back the next week to kind of correct that. And my husband had asked me then, do you have to go to confession every week when you become part of Women of Grace? So I said, no, I don't think so. But it really has opened up all of these things that have kind of, made my eyes open up. So I've been going back to Eucharistic adoration and then just love going to Mass and receiving the Eucharist. So this fall, what I wanted to do is Moments with Mary, but I couldn't because I already had committed to doing my facilitation of the foundational.
Yes.
So something happened. There was a conflict of schedules, and I was asked to actually facilitate Moments with Mary with my favorite co-leader. And what has done for me is I just feel this healing going on, and I feel really assured that that's going to pass on. So the only thing I can say about my testimony is I was lost, and now because of Women of Grace, I'm found. And I'm so happy to say yes and to give the fiat to this anointed apostolate. And serving as a facilitator has been a gift that I'm so happy that I've received.
Oh, Denise, this is such a beautiful testimony, and it brings tears to my eyes. You know, it's just the way that God works through this and what he does is everything that you are saying. It is a transformative experience. And, you know, it reminds me of the great fact that this God, you know, is a God who knows us intimately and knows us and knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And I love the idea that you are now facilitating and that you're facilitating both studies, that you have been a facilitator for the foundational study, which, you know, I'm sure that you'll continue to do, but also now for this Moments with Mary series that we're doing. Right now we're working on the second one. As a matter of fact, it is really mostly done. We're just cleaning up some things that need to be cleaned up, you know, in the editing process. But that being said, you know, God is moving among his daughters to such a great extent. And that gift of spiritual maternity that you are experiencing, you know, the gift of you know, birthing souls into a deeper understanding of God's love for them. And in light of their feminine reality, you know, who they are as his daughters, you know, that is, you know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful tribute, I think, to the nature of woman to bring life to others, you know. So you're bringing Jesus Christ to the world and the world to Jesus Christ. And your testimony is just glorious. And I am so grateful that you are part of this. And I just want to invite every woman listening, you know, to be part of Women of Grace. You heard Denise talk about the fact that this becomes a sacred sisterhood. You know, it's not formalized in any way, but it happens within the in the dynamic of the group. You know, the women in the group form this very close relationship. And the funny thing is that when we all come together, like at our events, You know, that sense of unity, that sense of being with kindred hearts and souls is manifest there. You know, and it's really just a lovely thing. So I want to invite all of you to join us, you know, to take the plunge like Denise did, you know, attend a Women of Grace foundational study. Consider if God's asking you to be a facilitator. Denise, if you're in Boca, then you're working with Martha, right?
I am indeed.
Yeah. So Martha Nicoli, for all of you to know, is one of our regional coordinators. She is there on the east coast of Florida. We have other regionals there. Alicia McDermott is there too. And these women have done a phenomenal job. I know, Denise, that Martha has led literally hundreds of women, probably 700-800 women. I know that Erica Segovia there, along with Fran Archibek in New Mexico, in Albuquerque area of New Mexico, has led hundreds of women through. So, you know, we can only have so many biological children, but there is no limit to the number of spiritual children, spiritual daughters that we can have. It's amazing. Oh, Denise, I'm so happy for you. And your hubby's happy too, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he was a convert. So everything that he experiences is kind of like a little bit more difficult to say, why are we doing this? And I always explain, oh, this is what everyone does. So it's been wonderful. And I'm so glad that this program is here, because otherwise it's easy to get lost and become just a shadow of yourself every time you go to Mass. And when you're part of the program and you see some of your friends, it's like you're just bumping souls, saying hi to each other, and it's a wonderful experience.
It truly is. Interestingly enough, I was here at an EWTN event not too long ago. I think it was an EWTN radio event, as a matter of fact. It was the affiliate here. And I had a gentleman that came up to me in the parking garage as Jack and I were walking to our car. And he said, Jeanette, he said, I just want to thank you for what Women of Grace has done for my wife. And I thought, wow, isn't it beautiful that the husbands in some way see, the difference, the categorical difference in their wives that comes by way of this. But it's the Holy Spirit. It you know, the program is good. It's the Holy Spirit, though, that does the transforming, you know. It's just wonderful. Denise, thank you so much for calling and sharing with us today. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Have a good one.
You too. And keep going, girlfriend. Keep going. Oh, goodness. That was a beautiful, beautiful testimony. We have Pam with us. Pam is also a first-time caller in Lawrenceville, Georgia. I'm ringing my bell for her. Hey, Pam, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you.
Great, great. So tell us what's up.
I just wanted to call to tell all of your listeners and yourself, actually, that we need prayers in Atlanta, Georgia, Friday night at 9 o'clock. They're going to have a black mass at a satanic temple.
Oh, dear.
And they're going to desecrate the Eucharist.
Oh, dear.
And,
Jesus,
they,
have mercy.
They sold tickets, and they've sold out of tickets. And Archbishop Gregory here has, Gregory Hartmeyer, has asked all of the churches here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta to pray for reparation of this blasphemy. So I thought it would be on your program something you would want to share with all of the people across the country to be praying this week because of this horrible thing they're going to be doing.
Pam, I want to thank you so much for calling in and making us aware of this. I was not aware of it, and that's this Friday, and that's the very same night that we're gathering, hopefully, a lot of young women together to talk about these realities. We think that this is all just, you know, fun and games, and we think that all of this is Hollywood, and we think that all of this is just manufactured. But the fact of the matter is, these people are very serious. And when you said that our Lord was going to be desecrated, I mean, I can't even tell you what that does inside of me. It's just, these horrible realities are happening in our midst. And this is why, you know, people say, well, what do you think about Halloween? This is why I have such trouble with Halloween. And I understand, you know, it's fun for the children, I understand, but there are ways that we can use what it's meant to be for the honor and glory of God. And we see the need for reparation for these sins against the sacrament. We see the great call to console Christ, to console Christ, you know, as he is being desecrated, just as John, the apostle, the beloved disciple, and our Blessed Lady brought consolation to Jesus as he stood underneath, or as he hung on that cross, as they stood there, just as they brought him consolation. We too now need to bring consolation to our Lord as he is being mocked and ridiculed and manhandled and desecrated. You know, this is our call. You know, this is our call in this moment. So thank you for that. I have a very special way of making reparation for those sins this week that God is entrusting to me, and I am certainly going to be doing it, and this will be just right there at the top of the agenda in terms of this entrustment that he's giving to me. Thank you so very, very much for making us aware of it. And, you know, your little note here on the screen to me says, do penance. You know, yeah, we do penance. You know, when we talked about being secondary mediators a while ago, yes, this is to be distributors of God's grace. That's what he desires we do. But we all are caught up in the reality of the mystical body of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that we pay enough attention to that. I know I haven't. It's been impressed upon me lately, though. The Lord's really working in my prayer life with regard to this, that we are truly his mystical body. And so today, you know, we are being called as his mystical body to sacrifice on behalf of those who commit such atrocities. You know, to sacrifice and do penance for the sake of their soul, just as our Lord, you know, allowed himself to experience the ridicule and the mockery and the torture. You know, we need to do penance as his mystical body for the salvation of souls today, especially, you know, for these souls that are planning to do this Friday, who have given themselves over to the demonic. This is serious stuff. Pam, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Can I make one other comment?
Of course you can.
Oh, I just wanted to say that my friend, we have a rosary group at Daily Mass this morning, and she said she put on Facebook to all believers, all Christians, even if they don't believe in the true presence, they still believe in Jesus, and that this is a sacrilege to Jesus, and they all should pray too. You know, our Christian brothers and sisters who are not Catholic could yes. also be offended and yes. want to pray for this horrible blasphemy. So I thought yes. that was a good thing that she put that out there.
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, we watched really in a very public setting our Lord being mocked, you know, by a political candidate this past weekend. And, you know, when we see public approbation, you know, applauding, saying yes to such moments, we're reminded, you know, that in so many sectors of our society today, that we are battling big spirits. But I don't grow weary, and don't grow despondent, and I don't grow discouraged, because this God, who is a God of determination, this God who is a God of supreme intellect, this God who is omnipotent and can do all things and is omniscient and knows all things, knew that you, Pam, and me, and all of us together are the right people for this moment, that we are the right ones to be here on the face of this earth at this moment for the sake of the salvation of souls. He intended for you, Pam, and he intended for me, and he intended for every single one of you listening today to step into the reality of who you're called to be. He's calling on you to be that soldier of Jesus Christ, whose weaponry is not the weaponry of man, but the weaponry of the Spirit. And when you call us to do penance, when you call us to, you know, alert others, when you call us to stand in that gap and to make reparation, you're calling us to our mission, Pam. You know, you're issuing to us the battle cry to move forward for the sake of all that is good, all that is beautiful, all that is true. And it's up to us. It truly is up to us. So, yeah, I admire and I applaud. I give approbation to you and to your friend who is getting it out through Facebook. And I suggest that all of us in some way, in a public way like that, are able to do the same. We're doing it right now through these airwaves, through you calling us, Pam. Thank you so much for being an instrument of the Lord today. God bless you, Pam.
Too.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm getting a note from EWTN that this whole event is a black mass and burlesque performance that is going to be following with a costume contest. The event was Eventbrite was more than willing to sell a ticket for $30. So just imagine the money. Just imagine paying to desecrate Jesus, paying for a spectacle. You know, that it makes me wonder something. I wonder if the attendees at the Colosseum, when they were watching other Christs being ripped apart by lions, I wonder if they paid to watch the spectacle too. Oh, dear God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord. Let's go to Lois. She is in Richardson, Texas today. Good morning to you, Lois. Glad you're listening to us and glad you're with us via Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hello. Hi. Jan. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I'm calling to give a testimony to John Paul II.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, please do, dear.
Okay. Okay. John Paul II came to New Orleans, Louisiana, and he was down at the Superdome, and he was saying mass, and we all went, of course, my husband and I, we all went to see the mass and see him, and he noticed a young man who had no arms, and he was playing a guitar with his feet, and he got off the altar and walked all the way a long way in the Superdome. This was all in the Superdome, and he went and embraced this young man and blessed him, and then went back and did the mass, and it was just beautiful. And we loved him. We always said, John Paul II, we love you. And then he was going to have a mass at Lake Pontchartrain, and he left New Orleans. He got in the car. And I don't know, I don't think this was the same day. I think this was another day. He was there about 3 or 4 days in New Orleans. And anyway, he got in the car in a mobile, and people were lined up all for miles and miles on the street to wave to him. And then he drove to the Lake Pontchartrain, and he was going to have a mass right by the lake. They set up an altar, and all the deacons were there, and the wives, and a lot of people. And anyway, it started raining a half an hour while we were waiting at the Lake Pontchartrain for him to come. And the deacons were outside, and they were getting wet. And it rained for about maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. And then he finally arrived in his Pope mobile. When he got out of the car, as soon as they opened the door and he put his feet on the ground, we were all watching. The rain stopped immediately, and we all started clapping him because we thought it was a miracle, and it was. And we all loved John Paul II, and he had a beautiful mass at the lake.
Well, Lois, I am so happy that you had that experience. And, you know, it's an amazing thing when we see the efficacy of saints in the making, you know, holy people even have that power over the inclement weather. It was Tony Melendez, who is the guitarist that you mentioned, who plays the guitar with his feet. And I remember that incident well. I was not there, but I do recall it and reading about it. What a wonderful opportunity for you. Thank you for remembering John Paul II for us today and sharing this lovely testimony of your affection for him and the great, great good that he brought to so many through all of the years of his pontificate. And may I say, the great good that he continues to bring through his intercession to our Lord in heaven for each one of us. Thank you, Lois, for recounting that lovely, lovely experience. God bless you now. I do want to try to get to Scott really fast. I don't know if we have time to get him on the air, but I think we can. If you can make it really quick, Scott. Scott is calling us from Chicago, Illinois today. WSFI is the way he's listening to us. Hi, Scott.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. We're into the last minute, so you got to make it quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that you were speaking about mediation and such like that, and we do need to be praying for one another. But I'm reminded of the scripture in 1 Timothy 2:5, where it says that there's only one mediator between
yes.
God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And so that
yes.
mediation is for our sin. You know, we can't mediate for each other's sin. So.
No, we enter into the mediation for Jesus, and I'll give you an example of how that is the case. He operates through his priest in the sacrament of reconciliation. So that priest, in a sense, is a secondary mediator in mediation with the one mediation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we all have our own ways, you know, based on our vocation of participating in that. Thanks, Scott, and thanks all of you today. God bless you now. Bye-bye.